takes the pressure. Hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The old Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mackin, my crew's behind me. I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the need. No need to be greedy.
I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the mayor. What's up, Packers fans? Welcome to another edition, your Super Bowl preview edition of the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. I'm your host, publisher of the Packer Report, and host of the show, Ross Uglum. I want to, of course, say thank you real quick to our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Gilbert, how are we doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm hanging out and getting ready for this game and doing the do as usual.
Absolutely, yeah. I escaped the frozen tundra, headed down to see my folks here in sunny Arizona, here for the Waste Management Open, and then we'll watch a little football game on Sunday.
That's where Robert Brooks is, Arizona.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we went to the Pro-Am. Watched Larry Fitzgerald hit a fantastic shot on 16 on the stadium hole. It was cool to see Larry, watch Michael Phelps play, watch J.R. Smith from the Cavs play. It's quite an experience, that Pro-Am. We got to get you signed up, Gilbert.
Is that golf?
That is golf. Yeah, that's correct.
Never mind.
All right. Well, we'll dive into the news. As you guys will certainly found out by the time this thing is dropped, Leroy Butler will have to wait at least one more year to be enshrined in Canton as a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He did not receive the required number of votes. The Hall of Fame did let in a safety. It just wasn't Leroy. They let in Steve Atwater from the Broncos. And Steve, all he did was have 15 and a half fewer sacks than Leroy, 14 fewer interceptions, and 3 less touchdowns. But I guess that's a conversation for another day, Gilbert. I'm not happy.
I'm not happy at all either. I mean, no taking away from Steve Atwater, but Leroy is the prototype premier safety. I was sure pulling for him, and of course Packer Nation was pulling for him. So, I mean, we're just going to get on the grind and get him in there next year. If you're a Packer fan, let's start now.
Yeah, I don't know what more can be done. You got guys like Tom Oates and Tom Silverstein making the case for Leroy. You look at, man, you compare Atwater and Butler's numbers. And again, Steve Atwater was a great player. That's all fine, well and dandy. But, 10 tackles for loss for Leroy to 0 for Atwater. 20 and a half sacks to 5 for Atwater. 13 forced fumbles to 6 for Atwater. I mean, he's not just beating his numbers. He's almost doubling them, you know. We could do a whole podcast.
When did he retire?
They're the same era, man. So Atwater played from 89 to 99, and Leroy played from 90 to 01.
Okay.
So they, for the exception of one season, one season either way, they played in the exact same era.
Okay.
Which makes it, in my opinion, it makes it even a worse, it makes what happened even worse, because you can compare the guys they played against. You can compare the eras, that they were in, and man, how you can look at those two guys and come up with Atwater is tough. The only thing would be that Leroy has one ring and Atwater has two. But if that's how we're really measuring safeties, I got a problem with that.
Yeah, me too, man. Because it's a crying shame that Leroy has not. To me, Leroy was the first ballot guy.
Shoot, yeah.
I'm just being honest with you. I'm just being honest with you. But for some reason, you know, that latter part of the Green Bay Packer era, you know, we get pushed aside for other guys for some reason.
I mean, Leroy really made – he changed it up. He changed the way the strong safety position was played. You didn't really see guys coming after the quarterback and making plays behind the line of scrimmage before Leroy. And man, I mean,
no, he started an era, the Lambeau leap that went NFL wide.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
I know.
Come on.
Impact on the game is just it's nowhere close between Butler and Atwater. It isn't. And that's not even, like I said, I mean, I keep putting this on Atwater. It's not even to say that Steve's not a Hall of Famer. I don't.
No, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, he got denied. Leroy did. We can't bash
right.
him. But you would want to know what are the committee's reasons and how they do they choosing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I would love to be a fly on the wall. I'm with you, man. I would love to be a fly on the wall. I would love to get a explanation as to why this man, the only guy on the all 90s decade team not to be a Hall of Famer, the only player.
Wow. When you break it down like that, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, quick, you know, dive into the rest of the news. The Packers, we had let you know that the last time we spoke, we had made sure you guys knew that Jason Simmons, the defensive backs coach, took the same position with the Carolina Panthers and open up a spot there on Coach LaFleur staff and on Mike Pettine's defensive staff. And that spot has been filled by Jerry Gray, 24, 26, 28 years in the league. The last real long time as the Minnesota Vikings defensive backs coach, produced multiple Pro Bowls from Xavier Rhodes at corner, multiple Pro Bowls and some all pros from Harrison Smith. Really did a nice job with the Vikings defensive backs over the years. And now he's going to get his hands on young up-and-comers like Josh Jackson, Jair Alexander, and Darnell Savage. So exciting stuff. The other thing that happened was that, you know, LaFleur said he was going to kind of go back and look at everything. He decided that what he saw from that wide receivers group wasn't enough because he let Alvis Whitted go. The wide receiver coach is no longer with the Packers. And the way that that's been explained to us is that Matt is obviously at the Super Bowl watching his brother Mike coach in the game. Mike LaFleur being the passing game offensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. And so when he is done watching his brother in the Super Bowl, then they will start interviewing for the open wide receiver coach position. But it's not going to be about it's not gonna be Alvis Whitted. We know that.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
How do you lure a defensive cornerbacks coach from another team? How do you do that? Is it like they offer him more money than what he was getting paid? Or
so that was
is it a chance for him to get, you know, new scenery? How does that work?
I mean, the way this one worked, Gilbert, is that he just did not have his contract renewed by the Vikings. So they did not fire him, but his deal was up, and they just didn't re-sign him. So he was free to go wherever he wanted, and he chose Green Bay. I wonder if Jason Simmons wasn't allowed to leave because Jerry Gray was available. I think the other part about that, too, is that Mike Zimmer, their head coach, is a defensive backs coach by trade. I mean, that's what he knows. That's his favorite thing.
Right.
And obviously, as the head coach, you can't spend your entire time coaching up the DBs. But
right.
You could see where him and Jerry Gray could occasionally, you know, bump heads. So I can kind of understand how that happened for sure. I wanted to ask you a little bit about this week, though, Gilbert, because – you know what? Let's start off with the million-dollar question, because this was something that our friends Mark Tauscher and Jason Wilde, ESPN Milwaukee, posited, and that was that 14 days.
Too smart, guys.
Yeah, that too smart. 14 days is too long. How'd you feel about that? You did it twice. You know, won the NFC Championship game and then waited two whole weeks for the Super Bowl. Is that too long?
No. I don't think so. to me, not really, because it gives you a week away from that long damn season we just had. You know what I'm saying? So it gives you it's pluses and minuses to the whole thing, you know. But for me, I mean, I enjoyed it because it gives you a week away from that long season we had. Gives you 2 weeks to prepare for who you're going against, you know, and trying to find their weaknesses and trying to find their strengths and trying to figure out what are their mannerisms on certain plays. So to me, I mean, it's a plus. I mean, some guys just want to hurry up and get it over with because of the mystique of sitting up there waiting for the game. But to me, it's just a plus to help you get ready and know your opponent.
Right. Yeah. And I think that it's probably more us, the football fans, are annoyed that mm-hmm. there's no football than the players are really all right. that annoyed that they don't just keep playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's
It's either way.
Sure. I think we talked a little bit about kind of the expectations that are put on you, but what is this week like? What has this week been like for these players? You go last week, you know, and you've got media day, you've got all these availabilities, radio row, you got celebrities, all this kind of stuff. But then it kind of, I think, gets into a normal week of practice and you guys are doing something a little different as far as getting prepared for this week. What's this second week of Super Bowl countdown like as opposed to week one?
Yeah, well, it also depends on the city you're playing in. But for those 14 days, whatever, it's just 2 weeks of distractions. You know, you got to deal with your family. You got to deal with the ticket situation. You got to deal with media pulling you here and there. You got to figure out how much workouts you can get in. And then there's practice, you know, and film. And it's a hectic 2 weeks, man, but you know, once you start getting down to that Wednesday, Thursday of that last week, you're starting to zero in and focus and telling your family members, hey, man, if Billy left his shoe in the hotel, I'm sorry. Don't call me. You know, then the first Super Bowl we went to, I didn't get nobody no tickets. I didn't give out my family member. The only person I gave a ticket to was my high school coach. And other than that, because I was so focused on that game that I didn't want no distraction. Everybody was kind of mad, but they understand, you know. Luckily, we went back-to-back Super Bowls, and I could let everybody go for that second one. That's probably what happened. But anyway, you know, it's just we and as a team and as a person has to understand that we got to shut out all the distractions, especially going into the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be distracting, especially with the ticket requests and I mean, just up and down, man, there have to be so many things put on your plate that aren't just about beating the opponent. And I think a lot of the times I would guess that the team that ends up winning the game is of course the team that, you know, matches up better and calls better plays, was more well put together, whatever. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I feel like when the teams are pretty closely matched, that sometimes the team that wins the game is the team that handles those distractions better and is able to stay more focused on the task at hand, which is, of course, you know, beating the opposition.
Yeah, most definitely. And then you look at all the off the field during the Super Bowls, all the off the field problems and troubles and everything that the guys go through. And it's all about just getting focused, man. I mean, my two times going, you know, that last week of when we down in New Orleans or San Diego, man, I'm practice to my room.
Right.
You know, practice, dinner. To my room because I was trying to stay focused on the task at hand because it's so easy. It is so easy to get in trouble.
For sure. All right, let's take a little time to pay the bills and thank the good folks over at Stadium View Bar. Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. They have just been so awesome to us for the beginning of this podcast, kind of getting this baby off the ground. And what a wonderful, wonderful place, man, to go in season, out of season, summer, winter. You know, in the summer, they've got a beautiful patio. In the winter, obviously, they're just, you know, fantastic, fantastic food specials, game day specials, events. Gilbert, you're always there on game day. How great is Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall?
It's awesome, man. I mean, I guarantee you they got a big Super Bowl party going on. I guarantee you that. It's probably going to be standing room only. The place is humongous. Bob and Amber and them guys over there, they do an awesome job. They make you feel at home. And like I said, we can talk and harp about whatever, but we're speaking the truth, man. It is just a premier place to go, especially around in season. But it's also a great place to go out of season. So if you got time when you go to Green Bay, stop over at Stadium View and tell them the great
thing. Absolutely, yeah. Make sure, you know, these guys treat us phenomenally, and we have no reason to believe that that's not going to continue. But boy, it would sure help if anytime you're in there that you make sure that Bob and the good folks over there know that Ross and the Gravedigger sent you. Know that you're listening to the pod and certainly listening to us talk about how much we love the place. Let's break it down for him real quick, Gilbert. I've got the Super Bowl specials right in front of me. You've got the double bubble, 6 p.m. to close. $2 off pitchers, any tap beer all day. $7 for a half-broasted chicken. That's kind of ridiculous how cheap that is. Here are the power hours, guys. From 10 to 3, the Liquid Brunch Bar. From 3 to 4, $2 off Liney's Creamy Dark. From 4 to 5, $2 off Smothered Mashed Potato Bites. That sounds unreal. Five to six, $2 off of Bud Light seltzer drinks. I think that might be at kickoff or real close to it. 6 to 7, you got $2 off boneless wings. 7 to 8, $2 off St. Archer beers. And finally, from 8 to 9 p.m., you got $2 off the chili beer cheese dip, which sounds absolutely phenomenal, man. I have not had the chili beer cheese dip, but that's something that the next time I'm in town, I might have to get involved in. That sounds absolutely spectacular. All right, let's break this game down, Gilbert. But before we do, let's just, and I kind of don't want to get, because we've already gotten into this and we have plenty of offseason too, but in kind of a general sense, what do you feel like the Packers need to do to get to this level? Because they got to the level right before this level. What's the next step?
Well, the next step is trying to figure out their defense. playing against the run, you know. Going into next season, everybody going to know, can we still run the ball on the Green Bay Packers? They gave up 200 and some yards to one guy. I don't think that ever happened to us in the season. And also, I think we really need to work on our receiving core. getting them guys down pat, because we got the best quarterback in the world. He got to get it out there to the guys. Running game looks pretty good. Offensive line needs to get stronger, move people out the way a little bit more, but we still got a great group of guys. So we got some work cut out for us. Special team is always a look-see. So all three phases of the game, I think we need to be better in order for us to make that jump to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because it's a legitimate jump, and I'm not sure people understand just how good you sometimes have to be to get there and to make it there. It's tough and it's rare. And
yeah, ex Dan Marino.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 Yeah, Dan, obviously one of the greatest players of all time with no ring.
When he went, what was it, 85?
Yeah. Super early in his career.
Yes, and never came back.
Yeah, and never got back. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So we've got the Kansas City Chiefs installed as 1.5-point favorites. So, you know, it's interesting, Gilbert, and we'll get to our predictions in a second. We'll get to our predictions in a second. But I find that interesting just in the sense that, you know, Vegas sees this almost as a pick 'em. If you get the Niners and you get a point and a half, I mean, what are really the odds that the Chiefs are going to win by one and you cash that ticket? I guess if it happens, you know, go crazy. But it pretty much, if you're betting on this game, you're just picking a winner, which is new. I mean, we haven't had a one-point spread in a Super Bowl for a while.
I don't know nothing about numbers.
I'll teach you one day. We'll go ahead.
When you say over, under, yeah, well, this, that, I don't know nothing about that.
Have they legalized sports betting in Michigan yet?
No, man. Right, well, they legalized everything else but sport.
All right, well, when they get around to it, we'll go to the MGM Grand downtown Detroit, and then I'll give you a little crash course.
There you go. All right. I need it.
So the number one deal here, I think, on the Chiefs side is certainly Patrick Mahomes versus that number two San Francisco pass defense. What are you thinking, Gilbert? Do you think Patrick Mahomes hasn't quite seen a defense like the Niners, or have the Niners not quite seen a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes?
I'm gonna think it's a little bit of both, man. I mean, because I know that a moving quarterback, I don't care how good your defense is, creates problems. If you don't, you know, if you got a guy that's gonna sit in the pocket and try to kill you, but he gets out of that pocket. You saw in the playoffs, you know. The real big plus for for the 49ers is I think it's going to be Sherman. I think Sherman, just on presence alone, make quarterbacks think twice about throwing his way. You know what I'm saying? Now, that pass rush that the 49ers have, I did not know them guys was that huge up front. I didn't know that. I didn't know them guys. 6'7". Oh, my God. You better buy 4 Brinks trucks to stop them boys from getting back. Oh, my God. But I think it's going to be a great game. But Patrick Mahomes is going to give that defense fits. Especially, what's Tyreek number 10? Hill? Is that his name? Yo, he's a fast something, man. And they create things for him to get open and to do certain things in their game plan that you can't count for. Can't no linebacker cover him.
And that's,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And so that's what I find interesting. I think, you know, if there's one knock on Sherman, it's his long speed. And there aren't a lot of knocks on Sherman. He's a great player. He's a very good cornerback. Mm-hmm. But if there's one thing that he maybe doesn't do as well as the other top corners is run. And a guy like Tyreek Hill could get up on top of Richard Sherman pretty quick. Now, Richard at 6'3 is 4.5 inches taller than Tyreek. So he's really going to have to beat him, you know, or Richard will just knock it away. But that speed matchup to me is super interesting as you kind of go into this game. And the other thing that you really need to pay attention to when you go into this game is starts. Because you watch San Francisco jump all over Minnesota and jump all over Green Bay. Absolutely all over them. And you go back into very recent Chiefs history and think of the way that they first let Houston get out in front of them. Then they blitzed them, obviously. You know, but they were down 24-0 in that game against Houston. Mm-hmm. And then in the Tennessee game, they were down 10-0 and 17-7. Mm-hmm. They were down both 10-0 and 17-7. Mm-hmm. If you get down 17-7 to San Francisco, it's a different animal. They cannot start slow.
Yeah, you're right. And the thing about it, the game plan, if you know, the game plan for the Chiefs is, I will put, if Tyreek Hill is your number one receiver or number two, I'm going to put my fast guy on Richard Sherman and just take him out. Just take him out. And then I'm going to kill you with that tight end they got and Hill inside the box and outside away from Richard Sherman, and you'll kill him all day long. You'll kill him.
For sure. Yeah, I think that that is absolutely the way to go. I think running the top off the defense with Hill, if you kind of take Sherman out of the game by going vertical, and maybe you catch him once, you know, and that that could be a huge play in the game. If you you catch him flat footed or something like that, maybe you catch him once. That'd be a big, big deal for sure. The other thing that I'll say is that Kansas City has been really susceptible to the edge run. You look at some of the outside stuff that the Packers ran, even the wide receiver screens and the tunnel screen to Aaron Jones that went for like a 75-yard touchdown in Kansas City. That side-to-side stuff, that fast stuff that, that San Francisco runs, I think that could really give the Chiefs problems.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because when you look at it, I mean, from back when Mike Holmgren was with us, we're like, at the time, baby brother to the 49ers. You know what I mean? We was just like the mirror image, but maybe a little bit more physical than they were. And it's carried on through the years. So whatever the Green Bay Packers had success on them with, I'm pretty sure that the 49ers are looking at. And that's going to be the key to the game. It's putting those type of plays together and sustaining and letting that defense take them home.
Ball control is going to be a big deal for San Francisco in this game. I think you don't want the football in Patrick Mahomes' hands any more than it needs to be. And top to bottom, I just feel like that's a real top end strategy is from the top down, hold on to the ball, convert third downs, make the third downs manageable, run the football. Yeah. I think San Francisco wants this game to end like 24-20, not 38-35.
Yeah, because I think the 49ers cannot come into the game with that game plan they had against the Packers. Garoppolo, that will not work. That guy, that's him. He's going to have to throw that dog on ball. That's the only way.
Yeah, they can't come in. They can't come in doing what they did. That just won't happen. And that brings me to my next question is do you trust Jimmy G? Because I think everybody at this point has to trust Mahomes. He's just on that level. And so, you know, you're feeling like, okay, well, San Francisco's a little bit better defensively than Kansas City, but Mahomes is pretty good. So who's going to tip the scales here? I think the scales tipper is probably going to be, can Jimmy G get it done? Can he not get it done? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it's all on his shoulders, I think, because like you said, if you go back and look at the tape from, because you know they're going to look at the games from last couple weeks, and they got to come up with a plan, and they're going to force Jimmy G to win the game. They're going to force him to win the game, and it's going to be all on his shoulders. He's going to have to show up.
I mean, as we mentioned, there's just no way that they're going to run. I mean, they'll be able to run the football, but they're not going to run it 250 yards with one guy and just never have to put the ball in the air. They're not going to be up 2-3 touchdowns throughout the course of this game, at least I don't think so.
No. It's going to be a dogfight because Kansas City got some big beef eaters up front too. You know what I'm saying? And you ain't going to be able to do that.
Talk to me about these tight ends, man. The Packers haven't had one about, and certainly haven't defended them. But Kelce and Kittle, I want you to talk about them a little bit, but then just talk about the value because you guys had Keith Jackson and Mark Chimura, and man, the last year's Super Bowl champ, his name's Rob Gronkowski, and they won a bunch of other Super Bowls with him too. Mm-hmm. How important is that tight end position, and how many difficult matchups can that create?
The tight end is one of the most important parts of the offense because they're standing in the block. They're in the run game. Boop, oh, my God, he's on the scene, wide open. You know what I'm saying? So they got guys. Each team has a premier tight end. And you go back and you look throughout the Super Bowls, who won a Super Bowl, they got a premier tight end because a tight end is so important in the passing game. They could be so important in the running game, getting the edge so that running back can get on that edge. But it's very important to understand that a tight end in the seams, in the flats, and just all over the place. And then the red zone. Oh, my God. Remember Bubba Franks for us? Oh, my God. He was a red zone monster. So if you utilize a tight end like we haven't, or like we haven't covered in a while, but the other teams have, you can see how important that tight end is.
For sure, and I think that there can certainly be a case made that the first and second team All-Pro tight ends are in this game. I mean, you can really make a case that the best two tight ends in the league are playing in this game. And does that mean everybody needs to go out and give $20 million to a tight end? I'm not sure that's the case, but it's important, man. You can do a lot of stuff offensively with a top-notch tight end. All right, Gilbert, hit us with that lockdown, locked-in Super Bowl prediction.
Well, I don't go with numbers. You know that. I can't do numbers. But I do know that Kansas City, man, is the team. You know, I really do think they're going to win this game. I really want Andy Reid to finally get his ring, because there are some coaches that, you know, been in this league and done a lot of things. I was with Andy. Andy was with us. And being the person that he is off the field, on the field, he's just a great guy. And I want Andy to get his first Super Bowl. I want Patrick Mahomes and them guys to just do what they've been doing all year, but do it crisp and clean. I mean, you know, the 49ers just beat us, so I still got a bad taste in my mouth about them. But I'm talking X's and O's right now. And to me, and what I see and what Kansas City puts out in the field, and the firepower that they have, that they can come back from 24 points down in two or three different games, and to see Patrick Mahomes go upside that sideline and get that touchdown, oh, my God, you are in trouble. I got the Chiefs and Frisco going down.
That surprises me a little bit, and I'll tell you why. You, sir, are Mr. Defense Wins Championships.
Yes, I am.
And there is a pretty big gap for me between Kansas City's defense and what San Francisco does defensively. I think that you can pretty easily make the case that San Fran has the better defense. I think you saw that in the difference between what Green Bay was able to do in Kansas City offensively and what they were able to do in San Fran offensively. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I just can't get that out of my head, because the things that they asked Jimmy Garoppolo to do just aren't that difficult. And yeah, there's a gap. If there's a gap between the Kansas City defense and the San Francisco defense, there's a gap between Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo. But I just think you can close that gap because of the simplistic nature of what Garoppolo is asked to do. I've got the Niners 27 and Kansas City 24. That's where I'm at.
Are you for real?
I am for real.
Now you got to understand now, you know I say defense win championships. Now, it's those guys with that chip on their shoulder, the no-name guys that ain't nobody really heard about, that's going to show up in this game and shut them 49. I'm telling you this, even though they don't have the name and the big thing, that they are physical. And that's what's going to beat them 49ers. 49ers are so finesse, they're going to get smacked in the mouth, and Kansas City going to win that game. Watch.
All right. Well, you heard it here. Ross and Gilbert on opposite sides. Folks, thank you so much for sticking around. And again, thank you. You know, and our thoughts certainly are with Leroy right now. That's a tough deal, man. He deserves to go in. Yeah. Hopefully, Gilbert, you and I are doing this show next year. The Green Bay Packers are in the game.
Yes.
And Leroy Butler's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I think that would be that would be pretty acceptable for us to be doing this show in 364 days. And well, I suppose it's a leap year, so a few more days than that.
Leap year for the Lambo Leaper.
Yeah, absolutely. Leap year for the Lambo Leap. Get it done. Packers to the Super Bowl. Leroy to the Hall of Fame. Want to thank, of course, our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Guys, there's two awesome ways to support this podcast. First of all, you can be a VIP member at Packer Report. Anytime our budget gets bigger, our coverage just gets better and better. That's not all going to go into my pocket, I promise you. We do everything we can to pour it right back into the coverage that we're able to provide with the Packers, adding new staff, improving draft coverage, improving the video program. That's what we're trying to do right now. I believe it's $1 for the first month or 30% off of an annual pass. The other thing that you can do, guys, is tell a friend. Tell 10 friends about the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown and get them to subscribe. You subscribe. Make sure you're getting every single episode downloaded to the device of your choosing. All right, folks. Enjoy the heck out of the Super Bowl. Have a great weekend. Go, Pack, go.